Welcome to the Bethel Mennonite Church Sunday Worship Podcast, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Pastor Jordan Farrell. As I shared last week, this will be our final Sunday Worship Podcast, because next week, June 7th, we are planning to move to an outdoor format for worship. The service will start at 8:30 a.m., and there will be three different ways for you to participate in it. You'll be able to participate virtually, in your car, drive-in style, and in person. Please read through the Tie That Binds that went out on Friday for more information about the service. Due to spatial and distancing constraints, you will need to pre-register if you want to attend in person, or if you want one of the few reserved parking spots that will be available. Again, see the article in the Tie and in the upcoming congregational emails for more information. On our final podcast of the season, we will be celebrating one of the most important days on the calendar, Pentecost. The day when the transgressive Holy Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead appeared as a tongue of fire and gave birth to the church. Since it's Pentecost, and since it is the fifth Sunday of the month, which is typically when we highlight a particular ministry in the congregation, our focus today will be on the small group ministry at Bethel. Because the story of Pentecost is the story of God's presence appearing in the midst of a small group of people who are gathered together. So on the podcast today, we're going to have some music, hear a few reflections on Pentecost and on small groups, learn about some new updates that are going on with the small group ministry at Bethel, and pray together. But first, here is Beth Berkey with some announcements and with our call to worship.
Good morning, Bethel. I am one of the co-chairs of our Bethel leadership team. On this fifth Sunday of the month, our focus is on small groups. Today, you will get to hear from each BLT member during the podcast. And if you'd like to, you can really test how good of an ear for voices you have by trying to recognize each of us before we identify ourselves. So good luck. We have three announcements today. First, I'd like to share a reminder for you to check the Tie That Binds for information about the outdoor worship format that we will be moving to on June 7th. Also in the Tie are some wonderful articles and an update about when the church office will be open. Second, Pastor Jordan will be hosting morning and afternoon prayer on Tuesdays via Zoom. Please check the bulletin and church emails for more information. And last, is there a passage of scripture that you've never heard a sermon on or that you were surprised was in the Bible? If so, please send the passage to the worship planning team or to Pastor Jordan, as the worship planning team wants to focus on those surprising passages of scripture during the month of July. For our call to worship today, I will be reading from Romans 12, verses 4 through 9, in the Message version. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped-off finger or a cut-off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something that we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help, don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourselves get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face and love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. I like to read this passage in the Message version because I appreciate the extra guidance or caution that is given with each gifting. That guidance or caution starts with words and phrases like don't, stick to, be careful, don't, keep your eyes open, don't, keep a smile on your face, don't. I feel like that tension of how to take action, but with some guidance or words of caution applied, is super appropriate for any time of life. So, looking into our week ahead, as we continue to love and care for each other, we don't assume that we know what is best for everyone, and we stick to practicing patience, and we'll be careful about speaking without thought, and we'll keep our eyes open to injustice and inequality in the world around us, and we'll keep smiles on our faces. Will you pray with me, please? Oh God, we thank you that you are a loving and involved Father. We thank you for meeting us where we are at, both physically and emotionally. Help to guide us in our relationships, our conversations, and our thoughts. Shine through us, speak to us, so that your love and presence may be known by each of us listening and those that we encounter. Thank you for the gift of your love, which never ends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Acts 2, 1 through 12. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medeans, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Acts 2:42-47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Acts 4:32-35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in all of them that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need.
This is Brian Miller, currently serving as the worship ministry leader on Bethel's leadership team. In the next part of our podcast, we will focus on the rich tapestry that small groups bring to our church as a whole and our individual lives. You will hear stories about learning and growing together, and also some reasons why we feel that a dynamic and thriving small group ministry is a primary goal of our church. First, let's hear from Anakin Mendoza Taves about how our scripture today forms the foundation of this ministry.
My reflections this morning have been inspired and cultivated by the people in my Bethel small group. I have participated in one for over a year now. I have them to thank for the widened understanding and perspective I have about the integral nature of small groups on my individual faith journey and our group's collective one. The Bible references large groups that give way to smaller ones for further discernment of God's will in many stories. From the Old Testament to the New, prophets addressed larger groups, which were followed by more careful tribal and even household discernment processes that helped people understand how to live as God instructed them. Jesus preached to large crowds, but spent most of his time nurturing a small group of 12 or so. In Acts 2, those crowded at the temple gates received the stunning news of Jesus' resurrection and ascension and broke into smaller units to grapple with what they had heard. As we celebrate Pentecost today, we can reflect on the beginning unity that Jew-Gentile Jesus followers found in the gospel story. In Acts 4, verses 32 through 35, Luke portrays the new Christians meeting in homes to eat, fellowship, pray, have communion, and share ideas with each other and the wider world. Jesus called the early house church clusters the beginning of God's reign. For these small groups, the first and foremost quest was to live as Jesus had lived. These communities cared for each other economically or materially, as well as spiritually. This was only feasible through the loving forces of mutual care and accountability that Jesus modeled during his life. Our Mennonite faith was birthed from similar clusters. The Anabaptist movement began in small groups, where participants' commitments to one another represented the key step in the pursuit of experiencing the reign of God. The groups demonstrated loving care for each other, transparency, and accountability with their religious beliefs and practices. It was the small group intimacy and deliberateness that built up their courage to peacefully face the threat of execution that thousands of them ultimately met. In both the early church and the Anabaptist histories, the members understood that the reign of God was based on love and forgiveness for each other, which unified members from different nationalities and ethnic identities. The groups represented universal families where their rules of love and forgiveness superseded those of the nation-states surrounding them, causing the Anabaptists to separate from the mainstream society and appear countercultural. Our collective faith journey must rest on a continuing process to explore how to be a people of God together, trying to pursue God's will. This is impossible to pursue as individuals. To engage the violent, needy world around us in a self-sacrificing way is part of what God calls us to do. Jesus called his disciples to take up his cross and follow him. For me, that meant asking them to prepare for the ultimate sacrifice, the willingness to give up one's human life for the sake of love and forgiveness that is the reign of God. Small groups offer us the opportunity to explore these questions on faith and life in a way that makes them more practical and less theoretical. Small groups offer more than just a relationship entry point into a congregation. If we allow them to, small groups provide a space for members to practice the communitarian aspects of the reign of God together. These aspects include scriptural reflection and discernment of what scripture means for how we live our lives, who we are called to be, and how to relate to our world while building relationships and offering mutual aid to each other. In such a small group, a question might be, what are we willing to give up to pursue the will of God together? Being in a small group helps us to face the question of what we are called to do, but might feel uncomfortable or scared to do alone. I have experienced it to be the discipleship muscle-building mechanism for putting my theology into action. It has been said that small group support for the sake of discipleship is the closest thing we will come to experiencing the reign of God on earth. Jesus consistently taught his entire life the primacy of loving God and neighbor. Anabaptist Hans Denk taught, "No one can know Jesus except in the following." May it be so for us at Bethel. May we grow in our desires to rely on and strengthen each other to walk together in the pursuit of the reign of God in our times. Amen.
I will sing with you, my brother, will you sing with me? I will sing with you, my brother, will you sing with me? The notes won't always come out as I want, but I will learn to sing along in my own eyes. Lord, I surrender. Bring us together. Bring us together. Sing with you, my sister, will you sing with me? I will sing with you, my sister, will you sing with me? My words will be imperfect, but I'll try. Bring in my assumptions to the light, I'll pray, Lord, I surrender. Bring us together. Bring us together. Thank you.
This is Julie Carr, co-chair of the Bethel Leadership Team. I have been thinking about how small groups are a natural yet intentional way to gather together, whether virtually through technology or in person, to grow in our connections at Bethel. Beginning last fall through our engagement with the Dialogue Resource Team and Duncan Smith, the Bethel Leadership Team, BLT, identified two primary areas of need in our congregation. The first area of need is for us, as individuals and a congregation, to grow in our ability to practice healthy conflict transformation and reconciliation. The second area of need is to more clearly name our collective vision as a congregation. We began to lay out steps for a conversation across the congregation to address these two areas of need. Now it may well feel like that conversation has withered or been postponed. Yet when I think about small groups, I am excited to imagine that small groups can be a place where conflict transformation and reconciliation can be nurtured, where collective vision will emerge. I know I would like to be a part of a group and a congregation where over time, trust grows and practicing reconciliation is common. My previous experience in several small groups is that over time we began to really understand our differences and listen deeply to each other. I smile when I daydream of how our creative Holy Spirit will use Bethel small group gatherings and relationships to prompt collective visioning. I know much connecting and deep relationship and small group life is already happening at Bethel. Early this year, BLT had named three questions for contemplation and discussion. What draws you to Bethel, and what do you need from our church to follow Jesus more closely? Also, how do we want to better live out our identity as Mennonite Anabaptist followers of Jesus in our communities? Perhaps in this season where our former patterns of meeting and worshiping and relating are disrupted, you will be willing to draw closer with a small circle of people to pose and answer questions such as these that will enable us to birth a collective vision. A vision well situated in mutual care and healthy practice of conflict transformation and understanding.
Hi, I'm Dave Morin, and I have experienced how small groups and faith formation go hand in hand for an ever-changing range of reasons through life. Small groups, at least, offer the possibility of friendships that can become close, open, vulnerable, and even mutually challenging and accountable. Whether it's conversations over food with lots of laughter, talk of life and work and relationships, or even delving into Scripture, questioning ourselves in what we have believed, or praying over our deepest concerns, we become known to others and discover most truthfully who we are within this dialogue of diverse voices seeking Christ. Jesus drew a small but diverse group of men and women to teach and to show what it means to follow him. His aims were immense, it seems, to heal and to transform our broken world through self-giving, unconditional, forgiving love, and disciple followers in that purpose. Joining Jesus in that radically challenging agenda and staying on that path is hardly perceivable without a close group of others to lean on.
This is Rebecca Wilder, and I love small groups that look like 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. I'm combining some translations to get expanded words. So, brothers and sisters, what should you do? When you meet together, every one of you is ready to share. One person has a song or psalm or hymn, and another has a teaching. Another has a revelation from God, another speaks in a different language, and another person interprets that language. The purpose of all these things should be to help the church grow strong, be edified, build people up, to help everyone grow stronger in faith. To me, this is truly church, and it can't be done well in a congregational meeting. I need to have a place where I can share and I can be edified as others add their perspective. We were made in the image of God, who is three in one. We need each other. In the book Backyard Pilgrim by Matt Canlis, he looks at Genesis 1:26, which begins with a conversation. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." From that verse, Matt goes on to talk about the need to repent of our independence and says, "Have you made God in your own image, an independent monarch, isolated and alone? Or can you begin to see God as refusing to do anything alone, even creating you? How busy is your week? Even amidst the busy first week God spent creating the universe, God made time for conversation." And later Matt writes, "The same God who conceived of us and created us wants us to join him in creating too." I confess, as an introvert, I don't always find joy in heading to a small group, but I know the effort is worth it to grow my faith and edify my spirit.
My name is Tom Crago. We started off, I think, one of the early ones was when we were involved with a small group that was pretty much local to our neighborhood and included families with children of approximately the same age, where our kids got to know other kids in the church, and we got to know quite a number of people at that time. That group was led by Cliff and Mona B. King. A little later, we were asked to join a supper club, and this club was kind of interesting because it included people from all along the Front Range. We had a couple from Denver, one from Swink, another couple up in Salida. So we were all over, and I think the thing I enjoyed about that group as much as anything was that we got to know members of the broader Mennonite community up and down the Front Range that otherwise wouldn't have had any contact with. A little later, we got involved with the Hathaway small group, and this one was kind of interesting too because we were real deliberate about wanting to include as many people as we could. With the idea that when we got too big, we would plan to split and have a couple of groups. This was really a good way to get some new people at the church involved, as well as getting to know those people. More recently, we have been involved with the Adelphian group. This group is largely older couples that have aging parents that we share lots of advice and counsel over that about how to deal with those end-of-life issues in some cases. We genuinely have a good time together praying and caring for each other. This group, in contrast, is one that's closed primarily because we can't deal with more than about 12 people around a dinner table at a time. A couple of other groups that Janet and I have recently been involved with are the Care Connect team, where Janet has gotten to know a lot about people throughout the congregation and to get to know quite a number of people because the Care Connect team is a rather large group, and in turn they touch base with virtually every household in the church. And that's been a great way for her to know more about people in the church. It's been a very productive and interesting time for us. I hope others will take advantage of the small group opportunities in our church.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Beth Berkey, and I'm a co-chair of our Bethel leadership team.
And this is Michelle Mussman, and I'm currently the community life branch leader and part of BLT.
What is Supper Club?
Supper Club is a group of 6 to 12 people from Bethel who will meet periodically to share a meal together and get to know each other better. This is open to everyone in the congregation, regardless of if you're currently part of another small group or not.
Why are we starting supper clubs?
We'd like to help build closer relationships within our congregation and feel like sharing a meal together is a great and comfortable first step for getting to know each other better. Our hope eventually is that some or all of these supper clubs grow into small groups where deeper and personal connections can be made.
When do we foresee supper clubs starting?
We plan to spend June collecting feedback and organizing all that information. Then in July, people can communicate within their supper clubs so that they can decide the format and frequency of the meeting that works best for them. Our goal is to begin meeting in August 2020 and run through May of 2021. And at this point, groups can decide if they like to continue as is, make changes, or form a small group.
How do I join a supper club?
Supper clubs are totally voluntary. We have a survey link in today's email that you can fill out if you'd like to join Supper Club that asks about the frequency of meeting, how you would like to be grouped, whether it be geographically or with people the same age or the same phase of life as you, or you have no preference. And then if you receive a paper version of the bulletin, a paper form of the survey was included for you. So you can mail that paper form back to the church when you're finished, and we will include you in our supper club.
Is there anything else that we should know about supper clubs?
If there's any other information that you would like to know, you can contact myself, Michelle Musselman, or Dave Morn, who is the Faith Formation branch leader. You can ask us questions, or if you have any feedback or any concerns, we would love to hear from you. Thanks.
Let's pray. Resurrecting God, on this day of Pentecost, we gather together just as your followers gathered in Acts chapter 2. For even though we are not in the same room with one another today, we are still gathered in the same place. We are gathered in the place where your resurrecting spirit embraces our broken, wounded, and often violent bodies. We are gathered in the place where your resurrecting spirit invites us to release our weapons we use to inflict harm on ourselves and on our neighbors and on you. We are gathered in the place called worship. In this shared place called worship, we lament, we confess, and we give thanks. We lament the pain we feel when our bodies and the bodies of those we love break, whether that be through accident or through illness. We lament the systems of our world that break the bodies of people you invite us and call us to love. In particular, we lament the murders of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery, as well as the many ways that our black and brown siblings most often are the ones bearing the weight of our most violent systems. And we lament the broken body of creation, dear Lord. We lament the destruction that happens when we treat your beloved creation as a stockpile of resources. In this shared place of worship, we confess. We confess, O Lord, that our desires, our words, and our actions are often formed inside of the very powers and realities that we lament. We confess that we are not able to set ourselves free from the fears and from the forms of violence that try to teach us how to live. And we confess that we need your holy, transgressive spirit to set us free and to fill our minds and our hearts with visions of your life. In this shared place of worship, we give thanks. We give thanks because in Jesus you revealed your love for the world and you invited us to love this world as well. We give thanks for the hope of resurrection, for it is through your resurrection and through your resurrecting power that we are able to see the limits of death's power. And we give thanks that you have not left us on our own. You have given us your Spirit, and you have given us your body called the Church. May we follow your lead as we learn how to share in your life and in your love. In this shared place of worship, O Lord, we have been gathered together with one another and with our siblings in faith across cultures and across time. Teach us to live in this place together, to see one another through the lens of your grace. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the one who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As we wrap up our Sunday worship podcast this week, I want to thank everyone who helped put it together. Thanks to Beth Berkey for being our worship leader, Michelle for reading scripture, the Roynan Family Band for music, Anakin Mendoza-Taves for providing the homily, Julie, Dave, Becca, and Tom for reflecting on small groups, Beth and Michelle for sharing an update on the small group ministry here at Bethel, the man with 1,000 nicknames, Brian Miller, for working on the production elements, and to you all for tuning in. I invite you now to receive these words of blessing. As you go forth from this place of worship, may the fire of the Holy Spirit fill your lungs with life. May the way of Jesus guide your feet as you walk. And may the love of God flow from your lips. Amen.
We will sing our song together.